You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a Diversified Media Enterprises production. I'm Doug Cunningham. The U.S. Supreme Court will hear a case from Wisconsin alleging that state political districts were redrawn unconstitutionally by Republicans to illegally benefit Republicans. The Supreme Court also granted a stay on an appeals court order sought by Wisconsin's Republican Attorney General. Federal judges had ordered Wisconsin to redraw the illegal political state assembly district boundaries by November 2017. The four more liberal Supreme Court justices opposed the stay on that order. This Wisconsin gerrymandering case being heard by the U.S. Supreme Court could have national implications on how political districts are drawn. International Domestic Workers Federation President Myrtlewood Booty, speaking on Canada's Radio Labour, says that the 67 million domestic workers in the world deserve full worker rights in their respective nations. Whit Bowie says that the International Domestic Workers Federation is organized and run to be the global voice of domestic workers.
This federation wants to ensure that we have a home for all domestic workers. This federation wants to ensure that we become the voice for the voiceless. This federation wants to speak out. We want to enter those countries where they have never been entered before. We want to go speak up for those domestic workers. Every day we see the killing in our Arab countries. We see our domestic workers are being treated. This federation must become that voice. This woman that's running this federation, they must ensure that the domestic voice is never silent.
Whit Bowie says the International Domestic Workers Federation, formed in 2013, is growing.
And this federation is proving to be a great success. This federation is growing. We've got 57 countries. We've got nearly 500,000 domestic workers.
The Chicago Teachers Union will vote this fall on whether or not to approve a merger with the Chicago Alliance of Charter Teachers. 1,000 union teachers from 32 charter schools in the Chicago area voted to join the Chicago Teachers Union. Now, members of the Chicago Teachers Union will have their chance to vote on whether or not to approve that merger with the Chicago Alliance of Charter Teachers. A Republican plan to repeal the prevailing wage law in Wisconsin would cost taxpayers more than $300 million a year. The Midwest Economic Policy Institute report, called The Social Cost of Repealing Wisconsin's Prevailing Wage Law, shows how construction wage cuts would affect overall state revenues and reliance on government assistance programs. Reports from Wisconsin's Taxpayer Alliance and the Wisconsin Legislative Fiscal Bureau said repealing prevailing wage would result in construction worker wage cuts between 14% and 44%. The Midwest Economic Policy Institute says that kind of wage cut would cost state taxpayers more than $300 million each year. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're tuned to WFHB.
91.3.
And 98.1 FM.
Volunteer-powered.
Listener-supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon. From the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB, this is Don Guerra.
And I'm Leah Carter. This is the Daily Local News for Tuesday, June 20th, 2017.
I ask passersby if they would like a poem, and the smart ones say yes. We talk a little bit about poetry, what kind of poem they want.
We bring you a report from Bloomington's Arts Fair on the Square later in the show.
Also coming up in the next half hour, Everyday People, a weekly segment aimed at improving the lives of older adults and people with disabilities in Monroe County. But first, these local headlines.
A new Fresh Time grocery store is expected to open in College Mall by next year. That's according to a report today in the Herald Times. Fresh Time could not be reached this afternoon, and a spokesperson from Simon Mall declined to comment. It is unclear whether the location will be inside the mall, but a Fresh Time representative told the Herald Times more information would be available in the coming months.
Indiana's gas tax is scheduled to increase by 10 cents a gallon starting next Saturday, July 1st. State lawmakers passed the fuel tax increase to help pay for road construction projects. It is just one of 45 different tax and fee increases approved by the legislature this year, according to an analysis by the Times of Northwest Indiana. Costs will also increase for vehicle registrations, teacher background checks, notary fees, massage therapists, licenses, and more.
The Bloomington Plan Commission is working its way through a final round of amendments to the city's draft 2040 Comprehensive Plan. The Comprehensive Plan is the master document outlining the city's vision for its future in seven areas, including land use, transportation, housing, and community services. In last night's meeting, the commission adopted two amendments that limit the development of student housing in the downtown area. Commission President Joe Hoffman brought forth both amendments.
I think if we didn't say something to this effect, a lot of people in our community would wonder what was wrong with us, because this is probably the single most commented upon issue in the past several years.
Currently, the city's comprehensive plan states the goal is to encourage, quote, a range of diverse housing types downtown, with an emphasis on affordable and workforce housing, unquote. One of Hoffman's amendments would add a new policy that states the city will strongly discourage new student-oriented housing developments downtown until a balance of different housing types is achieved. Hoffman's other amendment would redirect new student-oriented housing developments away from the downtown and nearby areas toward what he termed more appropriate locations near the IU campus.
I do not want the prior amendment to be seen as in some way discouraging student-oriented housing developments in this town. I believe that affordability in Bloomington for housing requires us to continue to allow development of more student housing as well as other forms of housing, because that's the only way that I can see us shifting the supply-demand curve, which is part of why we have an affordability problem. It's not the only part of the solution, but I think it's got to be a part of the solution. So I'm looking for a way to say, if we don't want the student apartments to continue to go up in the downtown, where do we want them to go?
Hoffman's amendment broadly identifies these alternative areas as those that already contain a high number of student residents and are in close proximity to campus transit and parking. Piedmont Smith pressed Hoffman on which alternative locations he had in mind.
We, as a community, have kicked the can for way too many years on discussing student housing, because for the exact issues that are being raised tonight, we are fearful of conversations for alienating any particular neighborhoods. And while
there are very few,
yes.
Are you thinking like Dunhill?
I thought the Dunhill project was one of the best things that came along in a long time. And I would interpret this language as encouraging more such redevelopment and increased density in that same general vicinity.
The Garden Hill neighbors might disagree with you.
I know they might.
I think that...
But I'm not being specific. I'm trying to lay out conditions. There may be other places, and of course, the words more appropriate are meant to convey that there's going to be some discretion in terms of specific locations, in terms of proximity to existing single-family homes, for example.
Hoffman said ideally student-oriented developments would be closer to IU Stadium parking. Commission member Jill Kinsey said some neighborhoods could be alarmed by the language and feel targeted for student housing development. Commission member Daryl Nair said including the language was crucial, even if some neighborhoods feel targeted.
We, as a community, have kicked the can for way too many years on discussing student housing, because for the exact issues that are being raised tonight, we are fearful of conversations for alienating any particular neighborhoods. And while this may bring a neighborhood into the conversation, it is a starting point for the conversation. And how this gets realized in the UDO may look dramatically different than the language here.
Both amendments were unanimously approved. During discussions, Commission member Isabel Piedmont Smith questioned whether the policy could be considered discriminatory by specifically identifying students. But Assistant City Attorney Anahit Baiju said students are not a protected class. Other goals within the Comprehensive Plan's downtown chapter emphasize sourcing grants to help develop housing for low-income individuals and creating affordable housing within existing buildings over building new structures. City Planning Director Terry Porter says the 2040 comprehensive plan may still be refined even after the Plan Commission and City Council approve it, as the city updates its Unified Development Ordinance. The current draft comprehensive plan and amendments can be found at bloomington.in.gov/CMP.
Governor Eric Holcomb has spent the last week on a trade mission to Europe, targeting the countries of Hungary and France in what he told the Indianapolis Business Journal is an attempt to, quote, sell Indiana, end quote. Currently, Indiana claims the sixth largest aviation industry in the U.S., with about 7,000 employees and 80 companies, including Rolls-Royce and GE. Yesterday, the state debuted an exhibit at the 2017 International Paris Air Show, where executives and representatives from the Aerospace Industries Association were present. Holcomb said he hoped attending the show would help efforts to expand the state's aviation industry, and a research agreement agreed to at yesterday's air show seems to indicate some success in that area. According to the Associated Press, Rolls-Royce, Purdue University, and the state of Indiana committed a total of $24 million Monday to a research program intended to develop what they call next-generation jet engine components. Of the $24 million committed, the Indiana Economic Development Corporation will contribute $3 million over the course of 3 years through the Indiana 21st Century Research and Technology Fund. Today, Holcomb was scheduled to meet with companies that have shown interest in locating or expanding their business in Indiana.
An Indiana company is preparing to launch a nationwide initiative to help military veterans find jobs. The company, Conexus Indiana, is focusing their efforts on the manufacturing industry. WFHB spoke with the workforce development manager at Conexus, Wes Wood, about the initiative, which is known as INVETS.
INVETS came as a result of a number of large companies that we work with still not receiving the quantity and type of workforce they were looking for, and having some conversations with us, getting creative about how we might help supplement some of these other things Conexus has been doing. There's a lot of beneficial traits that veterans have. They're highly trainable. They're generally, you know, motivated, disciplined, work well on teams, problem-solving, oriented.
Conexus Indiana, based out of Indianapolis, is part of a larger nonprofit organization, Central Indiana Corporate Partnership. They focus on the advanced manufacturing and logistics sector of Indiana's economy. Wood says they have partnered with five other companies who have helped with the funds to launch this initiative.
Toyota down in Princeton, Indiana, Honda over in Greensburg, Forcia has a couple facilities in Columbus and one going in Fort Wayne, Allison Transmission, and Subaru up in West Lafayette. They're all coming together, pooling some of their monetary resources as well as their efforts.
Wood says they plan to eventually bring in other companies from across the state. Through the new initiative, veterans can learn about the participating employers and available career paths. Members of the Conexus staff will be part of an outreach program in which they will travel to military bases across the country to talk with military personnel who are preparing to exit the military. Wood, who is a military veteran himself, says veterans face major problems searching for civilian jobs.
If you go to any, you know, veteran-focused career fairs, you can walk around to the different booths. They'll use all sorts of buzzwords, you know, words that are really common maybe in that industry. But for somebody coming from the military, they don't know what any of it means. They just haven't had the exposure. So a lot of it is just translating, you know, what does an actual day in the life look like in some of these career paths? What's the long-term earning potential? How long does it take to get there? What kind of education do I need to get there? A lot of that just isn't really clearly mapped out. There are a lot of organizations out there doing a lot of good. There's a lot of organizations that focus on, you know, building resumes and trying to translate some of the candidate's experience, you know, trying to translate what I did in the Army to somebody on the civilian side. What we want to do is kind of work in the other direction, try and translate what the civilian jobs are to the veterans.
Wood says the organization will begin reaching out to veterans once their website is completed by early to mid-fall. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Leah Carter.
And I'm Don Guerra. The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at MPISolarEnergy.com.
The annual arts fair on the square was held this past weekend in downtown Bloomington. Correspondent Arjun Balasundaram was on hand for the fair, and he brings us this report.
On a bright, sunny Saturday morning, the 37th annual Arts Fair on the Square event kicked off at the picturesque outdoors of the Monroe County Courthouse at 10 a.m. With the streets adjacent to the courthouse blocked for the fair, the event featured 100 regional and national artists putting forward their creations for sale to the public. Lee Burks, organizer for this event since 2010, shares her opinion on the varied art forms at display.
We have everything. We have painting, we have photography, we have woodworking, we have glass, we have metal, printmaking, drawing. Like, if there's a visual art of some kind, we have somebody doing it here. You know, jewelry, pottery, right? I could go on. We have everything. And that's what's wonderful, because you can see and experience so much.
The Juried Art Fair, sponsored by the Bloomington Playwrights Project, had various performances scheduled throughout the day. It started with the Bloomington Community Band, which is comprised of 50 to 60 musicians, followed by performances from Windfall Dancers and Dark Side Tribal Belly Dancers. A performance by the Jordan River Crossing Barbershop Quartet at the open grounds received a huge ovation from the crowd. Nathaniel Kohlmeyer, representing IU Theatre at the event, explained their method to attract the public, as they used the event to advertise their upcoming summer and fall shows.
The wheel? Oh, the prize wheel? Curious about the prize wheel. So we partnered with Cup and Kettle and Baked. Baked are the official cookies of the IU Theater Department. And you spin the wheel. It's very colorful and it makes fun sounds. And you have the possibility of winning a coupon to get a free cookie from Baked, or some tea from Cup and Kettle, and a coupon for a free cup from Cup and Kettle. But mostly, it's just fun, and it feels good to spin. You have the possibility to win two free tickets to an IU theater show.
The public could also get henna tattoos and enjoy Rasta ice pops while they looked around at the different art forms on display. Brandon White was watching the free painting classes at the wine and canvas booth.
This is awesome. Like, my girlfriend's little sister is learning how to paint, which is great.
Interested public could also get poetry on demand based on a subject or a person of their preference at the fresh baked poetry booth set up by the Writers Guild at Bloomington. The chairperson of the Writers Guild at Bloomington, Tony Brewer, elaborates on the poetry on demand process.
The way it works is I ask passersby if they would like a poem, and the smart ones say yes, and then I invite them to come and have a seat, and we talk a little bit about poetry, what kind of poem they want. If they don't have something off the top of their head that they can think of, we chat about poetry or something they've seen, like something they've seen at the art fair today, something interesting that's happened to them, or something that's interesting that's happened to someone else. Today I've probably written three poems for people that it's their anniversary. There's a lot of people in town visiting their kids. There's a lot of parents in town visiting their kids, so a lot of people are asking, it's family, things about family and that sort of thing. And then they go away for about 10 or 15 minutes or so. When they come back, I have typed up a poem on a typewriter, and then I read it to them and then give it to them on a nice little card in an envelope. And I get a donation for the Writers Guild.
Pat Martin, a resident of Bloomington and visiting the Arts Fair on the Square event for the 11th year, shares his feedback on the colorful event.
I love it. I love it because of the variation that you've got in terms of the artistic styles. I mean, I bought some ceramics, but you've got the jewelry, you've got the cloth, you've got the wood, you've got paintings, and they could be watercolors, they could be acrylics, they could be tempera, they could be a lot of things. It's just a great variety, and that's why I like coming here. You never know what you want until you walk here and then you see something special, and then you know, okay, that's for me.
Jane Steiner, a fiber necklace artist at the event, points out the reason why she likes showcasing her creations at this event for the sixth consecutive year now.
This is my sixth year to be here, and I've always enjoyed it. I like the people in Bloomington a lot, and they've been very good to me and kind to me, and I hope to return every year.
For WFHB, I am Arjun Balasundaram.
Support for WFHB and the Daily Local News comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service. Now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service is available at smithvillesecurity.com.
Coming up next, WFHB's weekly community resources segment, Everyday People.
Don't mess around.
Welcome to Everyday People, improving the lives of older adults and people with disabilities in Monroe County.
Everyday resources for everyday people. Connecting our community by sharing resources you need, want, and probably don't know about.
Hi, this is Stacy, and we'd like to welcome Paul Ford with the Van Buren Fire Department. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you.
I understand you're with the Project Lifesaver, a program here in town. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Today we have about 36 clients, and that runs the gamut from Alzheimer's patients down to Down syndrome, along with autism. These people have a tendency to get lost. They mm-hmm. want to wander. They wander yeah. off, exactly. Yeah. And in the case if they do wander off, we can track their transmitter within a mile of wherever that transmitter is located. Monroe County Project Lifesaver was originally brought to the county approximately 15 years ago. About 3 years ago, Van Buren Township Fire Department took it over.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah. Can you speak to how many people that you've maybe assisted?
I think off the top
since
of my
your project started.
Yeah, top of my head, I think we've had about roughly 10 searches
okay.
in that time frame.
And you've actually found the individual?
Yeah, we found yeah. them.
So as far as the Lifesaver, is it a device that people wear, or is it located? Can you describe what
basically it's,
what it looks like?
Yeah, it's a little small case about half inch thick. It's about maybe the size of a half dollar. They wear it. It's very, very, very light. They wear it around their, most cases, they wear it around their ankle. They wear it 24/7. The transmitter that's locked inside a little case is waterproof, so okay. they can go swim, they can bathe with it, just do anything they want to with it. I do have one little boy. He kind of cracks me up. He wears it on his wrist, and his parents had drawn on it and made it look like a little watch.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And that's fine. It makes it his. As far as Monroe County Project Lifesaver, this is a service we do not charge for.
I was going to ask.
Okay. The transmitters do cost about $300 a piece, along with the receivers to pick up the frequencies. Those are about $1,100. However, the community being the way it is has been very generous on donations.
So, speaking of the cost, there's something that I know you guys have been working on. There's a health fair. There was one a couple years ago at Sherwood Oaks, and the plan is to try to have another one. Is that right?
That is correct. Tentative date is September 23rd.
And is that how you raise money, or is it just through separate donations?
It's kind of a combination. We raise money through through the health fair, obviously.
Right.
And then also we look for grants, and then we also get private donations.
So if people want to find out about how to get set up, who do they contact?
You can contact me directly at the fire department, which phone number out of Van Buren Township is 812-825-9500. The only criteria that we have in order to be a participant in this program is a person has to have a history of getting lost.
Okay.
It had to gotten lost at least one time.
And how do they fulfill the, do they have to show medical records,
no,
or they just need to convey to you
just let me know
what the situation is?
Just let me know. In most cases, there'll be, you know, there'll be police reports
that show that's been a problem.
Yeah.
Right.
And also they have to be a resident of Monroe County.
Well, we want to thank you for being here and for letting us know about Project Lifesaver and how to reach out and just general information.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Again, the number to reach Paul is 812-825-9500.
Thanks for joining us on Everyday People.
Tune in next week for more information and resources that connect everyday people to everyday resources. For WFHB, I'm Courtney Stewart.
And I'm Stacey Goffinet.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Lindsay Jones, Joe Crawford, and Arjun Balasundaram, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Arjun Balasundaram.
Everyday People is produced by Courtney Stewart and Stacey Goffinet. Our engineer is Megan Wade. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Joe Crawford. For WFHB, I'm Leah Carter.
And I'm Don Guerra. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast as well as all other WFHB news programming online at wfhb.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@wfhb.org.
If you use iTunes, you can have this show delivered directly to you. Just go to the iTunes store, search for WFHB Daily Local News, and subscribe to our podcast.
Stay tuned for Interchange, Bloomington Community Radio's longest-running public affairs program, coming up next on WFHB.